Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bing-a-dee-bong-a-dee-da-bing-bing-bong-a-dee-da-bing-a-dee-bong. It's suggestible time.
We lost an episode, some of an episode.
We started and then we had to restart.
And Claire was so grateful for going on tour and she loves everybody who came and saw the shows.
Now I have to say it all again.
I know, and it's not going to be sincere.
I know, because it's the second time around. Anyway, before we get started with all of that jazz.
Whoa.
My name is Claire Tonti, James Clement is here also. We recommend you things to watch, read and listen to usually. And I would just like to say thank you again the second time around. To everyone who came to my shows over the tour. I just did a tour 3 weeks. Turns out really loved it a lot.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because it was so fun.
Because you had 3 weeks alone? Yeah. Do a thing that you love more than anything in the world?
Yeah, I know.
Other than your family,
but
obviously.
Also, you did an amazing job. You kept our two children mostly alive.
Mostly, that's right.
Now, but that's okay.
If you look at them, you'd be like, right? It'd be like more than 50% of these children are alive.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah, so that's pretty good for me,
yeah,
quite frankly.
You did a really amazing
It's all
job.
About, here's to everybody out there who might have goes. To solo parent. And some people just do it all the time, which, my goodness, how do you do it? It's just about planning ahead,
Living
Claire.
Legends.
It's just about planning ahead. It's just about thinking, what terrible thing is going to happen today and how do I get ahead of that? And that's what you do. And
like
you do that every second of every day.
Someone wetting the bed.
Yep.
Someone having a tantrum.
Yep.
Someone knocking their knee over.
Yep.
Does that happen?
Someone knocking their knee over.
Oh, my gosh. I've really slid downhill. I have a cold now from the plane and a little jet lag still.
Yep.
And so things are getting hairy in this old brain. Mm-hmm. It's getting real problematic.
I hope it's not going to be too hairy before your show in Sydney this Sunday.
Yes, I know. I don't know how that happened. I do know how that happened. I booked a show in Sydney and then this opportunity came up to go on tour, so then I had to book a tour. And then now I'm doing a show in Sydney like the week after I get back. Oh, boy. And I have a cold. Who knows what will happen?
When this goes out, it's going to be 3 days away if people are interested.
Holy
in
moly. Yeah, there's still tickets available. So it's in Marrickville in Sydney at the Great Club. Tickets are $25 if you use the promo code MOTHERHOOD.
Oh.
MOTHERHOOD. You can put
one
that
word?
In. One word, yep.
Any capital letters?
No, just one word. Collins will put a link below to the tickets, but you can also find them on my website or on my Instagram. And Ariane Beeston, who I've talked about before, is an advocate for COPE and a writer, but also an extraordinary dancer. And she suffered from postnatal psychosis.
Yeah.
And when she heard my song Self, who actually she found me through the wonderful comedian Mark Humphreys.
Oh, really cool. Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, they're friends. And
he
came to my album launch and then shared something on socials and she found it through him. And then she sent me this beautiful video of her dancing to it. And I could see in her movement that she had experienced just something pretty profound and struggled and maybe through motherhood. And there was something in her movement that told me a lot about her experience and also that she resonated with the song. And it was like meeting a kindred spirit. I got to meet her in person actually at the Fearless Conversation About Motherhood festival that I went to at the Wheeler Center, which was amazing. And she is just an extraordinary person and she's going to dance on Sunday. So I'm going to sing and she's going to dance.
Unreal.
I don't know how I'm going to get through it without crying, basically.
How am I going to get through it without crying?
Well, I don't know. Because
I'm here with the kids again.
Exactly. You can come if you
no,
want.
No, I can't. I've got a birthday the night before and then I have to.
Oh, that's true. You do.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't want to go to Sydney.
All right.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Nothing is worth doing.
Except for this.
Anyway,
but
so
not
that's
for me.
Happening. So we're doing that on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. I'll be performing. Amy Taylor Cabaz, who is an amazing author and Matrescence activist, is going to be speaking as well. And what's really interesting, and I think a lot of the great mates have said that in their Planet Broadcasting Great Mates group on Facebook as well, that I thought these events were just for mothers, right?
Mm. We insisted.
But so, no, but they're really, really not. So it turns out so many of the events I went to had like half men or a lot of couples who came and a lot of people who didn't have kids. And they got so much out of it because really it's about educating about this monumental transition before it's a thing that you're going through so that you're prepared. And I think also people understand and know that they come from a mother or have had experience with mothers. And I think it's really about the human condition. So overall, I just feel like if you're thinking about coming but you think it's only for mothers, it's absolutely not. It's for everyone. And the rooms that have been my favorite have been the ones where afterwards I've had these conversations with blokes who've come up to me to talk to me about their stories, and it's just been extraordinary and it's such a privilege. But also just these amazing women who are so strong, and it feels really radical to be making events like this that are accessible for women to bring and parents to bring their babies. So if you have a baby in a pram or in their
if you come across one.
Or if you come across one and you feel like just picking it up and taking it along, don't steal anyone's kids. Anyway, totally you can bring them. So it's an accessible event for babies and little people. And it's not a kid's show, but you absolutely can bring babes in arms if you need to. And it's disability accessible as well. So there'll be drinks available and it's going to be a really, really special show. So my first show that I've ever done in Sydney. So I'm very nervous about it and I would love you to be there. I'm also bringing some records and I'll hang around a little bit afterwards. We're going to do a Q&A. It's also supported by COPE and the Gidget Foundation as well. So there'll be lots of experts there to talk about perinatal mental health and the support structures that are around for women in Australia and families who are going through motherhood and parenthood and all things. And that's it. And shall we get on with recommending some things?
We should. Well, I wanted to talk about one thing in particular because you saw what might be your favorite thing of 2023.
You look so smug about it too. You were like, you should see it. And then I got back and you were like, what did you think? And I said it was great. And you were like, and you look like you just
what
sat
are you
on
talking
the couch
about?
And being smug.
I'm talking about Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Oh, Lord.
A movie that you watched with our son. What did you think, Claire? Ape Link.
Oh.
Cheetor.
Oh, no.
Optimus Primal.
Here's the thing.
Mirage.
Here is the thing. Here is the goddamn
thing. I'm listening.
I love our son. And okay. I would throw myself in front of a bus for him.
What? If he was like, hey, Mum, throw yourself in front of the bus. I bet you wouldn't.
But
hey, Mum, if you love me, you'll throw yourself in front of a bus.
I would do many things for him. Would I watch that movie again? Hard to say.
You might have to. Didn't you like the bit with Bumblebee?
I tell
you what. They dropped
out
of the plane?
I tell you what. I liked the bits with storyline, which I would say every so often there would be 5 to 10 minutes of dialogue where I was like, I like these characters. The characters are
fun. The human characters.
Yeah, I like the human characters. I think they're interesting.
You're the opposite of a Transformers fan.
Exactly. I liked the human characters. I liked the human storyline. I liked how it kind of wrapped up at the end and you're like, oh, good, great.
You even liked the G.I. Joe reveal.
Yeah, I did. Because it's a little journey for the man that was like, oh, I'm so sad and, oh, I don't have anything and my little brother, he's very sick and he needs things and I'm feeling very sad and I was in the army but I stuffed up and I don't know who I am anymore. And then he finds himself and he gets to do a cool thing. That,
join G.I. Joe.
Love that. Otherwise, boring.
It's actually
so boring. Just like crashing and smashing and bashing. Boring. Also, I didn't like the fact that all the bad guys were huge and the Transformers were kind of small. And I was like, well, why are we on the team with the small ones?
Because of their underdog situation.
No, yeah, but it just basically they just mostly got beat up all the time.
Yeah, that's
there
hard.
There was very many moments. There weren't that many moments where I was like, do-do-do-do, Optimus Prime. It was more just like, oh, here he gets bashed again.
What about when Optimus Prime is like, I don't even like people anymore. I fucking hate this planet.
Yeah.
And Optimus Prime was like, this guy's, I named myself after this guy. This guy's rude now.
Yeah.
He was cool, but he sucks.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
No.
Did you like when Optimus Prime will smash that dude's head in with a big boulder?
I hated that.
And Optimus Prime was like, I wanted to kill that guy.
I hated all of it. The only thing that actually made me really happy was how much it made my son happy.
Yeah.
And I really loved the bit where my son was watching it and the man, whatever his name is.
The man, Noah.
Noah. He gets to get the armor of Mirage on his own self.
Yeah.
And our little person's face, so like my little son's face, oh, my God, he was so into it. He was just like, this is the best thing I've ever seen and it's so awesome and that's all I want in life is to be a real-life Transformer. And that made me happy.
See, I didn't love that bit. I think the design was okay. Traditionally.
Oh,
in
here
the,
he goes.
In
How the, long are we going to talk about this for? Because I had to talk about it last night and I had to watch it last
night.
Yeah.
Listen. Traditionally, like, it should be like a transforming suit and you get into it as a person and then you can change into like a little car, a little fold-out car.
Oh, that's
fun. That you can scoot around in. He doesn't have any of that.
No, it's like on his body.
What did you think of Mirage, the character? I thought he was fun.
Pete
Davidson.
Yeah, he was fun.
And that guy who's always...
Do you know who was fun?
All the time.
Oh. Yeah. Do you know who was fun? The guy who got the guy Noah to steal the car initially.
He was fun.
I really liked him a lot. It was all about the breathing and listening to music. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I bet you did.
That was like my favorite bit about the whole thing because those two of my favorite
Well, you're
going to
love this because next year there's going to be a Transformers origin movie and it's going to be set entirely on Cybertron. It's hopefully going to be the first of a trilogy and it tells the story of a young Orion Pax who becomes Optimus Prime. He becomes a leader, right? And Megatron, who they started off as friends, but Megatron was a gladiator in the Cybertron arena.
Yes,
and he was like, I don't like being oppressed. I'm going to make a big war against the leaders of Cybertron. And he was right to do so, but guess what?
What?
He took it too far. He took it too far, Claire. And so that's something we can all look forward to next year. But listen, your second favorite movie of the year, let's talk about this. And just like that, watching and just like that.
Oh, my God.
On TV.
And just like that, I have to say, your rant, my God. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's us. And because I couldn't watch it while I was overseas. And so I thought, I'll come home. What do I want? I want to watch something that'll like switch
something
my brain
bad.
Off. It's been like a huge tour and so many things happened. And I just wanted to process everything. So I thought, I'll watch something light and fun. I've literally had to turn it off mid-episode.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens to me that often. I really was like, can't watch this anymore.
I think people should embrace just turning a thing off.
Oh, God.
Just be like, no, I'm not doing this.
But the fact me, you remember me from season one.
I remember.
Even though there were moments in the first season where I was like, this is awful, overall, I still loved it.
Yeah.
This time round, I actively hate most of the people on it.
Do you enjoy... It's realistic depiction of motherhood in your 50s.
Oh, my God. It's horrendous. It's so horrendous. One of the things that I hated like more than anything was how little it is grounded in any kind of reality for women at that age. Like there's just no reality. All it does, and I know that it glorified wealth in the actual whole show, but it was more – maybe we were at a different point then, but also it was grungier.
It also felt –
It felt grungier.
It felt also like – them being poorer, it was more like aspirational. It's like, oh, a treat, a bag that I really like. And now it's like, I've got 100 bags.
This is exactly
and
it.
I hate everything.
And my problems are someone stole my $30,000 Birkin bag and now I found it again. Or like, oh, no, I couldn't get to the Met Gala or whatever. It just does – there's no feeling of any real problems or struggle.
Yeah.
There's also zero chemistry between the cast anymore, I think. There's no – like the chemistry that existed between Miranda and Charlotte and Kerry is like fizzled to nothing.
Mm.
And so then the new cast of characters, I like them individually as actresses. And I do.
I think there is some funny and good stuff in there.
Yeah,
as well.
I do. Occasionally, you'll be surprised. And Sarah Jessica Parker is excellent. I mean, individually, they're doing a really
Everyone's
great
doing job, a good
job with
at selling
a terrible
the,
script.
Yeah.
A terrible script. It just feels, you know what it feels like? And I said this to you last night. Michael Patrick King does not
like what
know what it is like to be a woman in their 50s. Or 60s. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But he does not know and he's writing them all of the women. He's writing like very wealthy, catty, gay men. All of them. In all the different contexts. And I know he has women
on
the writing team.
It's a pretty niche thing to make every character like that.
Right? But don't you agree?
Yeah, there is definitely elements of that.
There's elements of that. And there's zero chemistry between Shay Diaz and Miranda as well. There's like those scenes are unwatchable because you just don't believe for a second that they are actually a couple.
It doesn't feel realistic or funny or sexy. So it's just like
uncomfortable and not fun.
Yeah.
And then like Miranda was wearing a ridiculous straw hat and walking into a tattoo parlor to look for robots to put on her body. And it just did not feel at all real. And then that scene where it was on the way to being something that could have been great. So Shay Diaz's character is going to record a live recording and it's a very big deal for them. They're about to, you know, cry on stage and they've been rehearsing for ages. And Miranda has her phone on her, and Brady calls just before to say that he feels.
That's her son, if you don't know.
Yeah, correct, exactly. I know this will be so boring for anyone who doesn't know the show. But Brady.
Try watching it.
Brady is like, early 20s. He's just broken up with his girlfriend, Amsterdam, and he's saying to her that he feels like killing himself over it.
Yeah.
And so she's understandably completely rattled and so worried and shocked, and she'd been missing his phone calls because she's in LA with Shay. And so then Miranda lies and keeps her phone on her when she's not supposed to, and then obviously it goes off during Shay's big scene. And then the reaction of Shay after it is so not correct. Like, it's just not the way it would actually go down. Because, yes, Shay is really mad at Miranda, obviously. It was a very embarrassing moment. But then Miranda explains that her son is having suicidal thoughts and she's on the first flight home. She's so worried about him. And instead of Shay saying what a normal human being would say would be, of course, oh, my God, I know this happened and I know it was a big deal for me, but also I'm so worried about your son. Of course you're going to fly home. They basically say Brady's just a child and he'll get over it and it'll be fine. And that in a nutshell shows me how little they understand about writing humans in this. I don't know. There's just so many elements to it where they're trying to make Miranda comedic, but it just makes her look kind of, but you know, that idea, like, it just, it makes me so mad because there was an opportunity and a show there to show some real depth and growth and a show where that many women in their 50s and 60s are the central stars. Plus you could explore their sexuality in a way that doesn't feel gross.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel there's mostly the sex scenes in it are almost deliberately disgusting. And I don't mean that in that seeing people in their 50s and 60s.
No.
In those moments are disgusting. I don't mean that at all. I mean, they're making scenes that are gross. And I don't really want to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether
that's. I think it's also, that's a chemistry thing when you're watching two people who clearly don't
have chemistry. Have any,
and then you're like, it's like making them like forcing them together to this. And it's like.
It's just so, it's weird. It feels very strange. But
I found I thought it was the same with Carrie and Big in the first season at the start when they're like, these two are a couple. And it's like, why the fuck would these two be? What an awful combination of people.
I believe their chemistry.
Not
I
in the new stuff.
I still did, but I just didn't.
I'm glad he's dead. I don't know if I know you said that before. Enough. Yeah,
I know. I actually loved those scenes. I thought there was chemistry there. I mean, I didn't really love the sex scene that they did.
No.
I felt like that wasn't subversive. It was. That's what I mean. They're taking it.
People they're making Carrie date. Remember, every time she would date somebody, there would be like a thing about them.
Yeah.
Whether it be weird or good or interesting and then a strange thing. And now it's just like, he's a boring nothing man that you can just like have zero chemistry with and then at the end go, nah, maybe not. And then there's no like, where's anything in this?
Where's the, exactly.
The jazz guy, the mayor that wanted her to pee on him.
Exactly.
All of these things,
so
you know?
Weird show. But yeah, exactly. There's just
the
none
sailor.
Of that. The sailor, exactly. There's none of
Burger.
That. Exactly. With a post-it. Exactly. There's just no humanness in them. I think that's the other part of it. It looks too glossy.
Yep.
It doesn't look gritty. Like the initial series looked really gritty and
I know.
Had a real edge to it, whereas this feels like just it almost looks like an ad the whole time, which we often think when it comes to
it
the ads.
It does feel like, is this an ad for like BetterHelp or – some, I don't know, you know,
yeah,
it's like
too
yeah,
shiny and polished yeah. and everything in it is too
like a car insurance commercial or something.
Yeah, like everywhere, every flat, every house is not lived in. It doesn't look real. One of the beautiful things about Carrie's flat particularly was that it really felt lived in.
Yeah.
That you felt like, because I watched that show so many times, I felt like I could have lived in that flat. It's slightly grimy and slightly just, human and real, and that's what's so sad to me about it. And then it's also you're watching these actresses who are really, really excellent have to kind of, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker is excellent.
Yeah, she's really good.
And she's – and like the scenes where she has to read her memoir into a microphone.
I thought all that was pretty good.
Really good because she's excellent.
Yeah.
But it's a terrible script and there's no real depth to it. And the saddest part about it is like the rampant capitalism and consumerism and that kind of really tone deaf, utterly wealthy like echelon that like Maybe I think they thought it would be sexy and aspirational, but actually it's just tone deaf and incredibly unappealing.
Yep.
Just looks vapid and horrible. But, you know, it doesn't feel fun.
Yeah.
Which is, I think.
It's not fun, is it?
No, it's not fun.
Except when Billy Dee Williams turned up and he's like, hello, oh, I'm he Billy Dee Williams.
I really
And I'm like, do you know who
that.
That is? And you're like, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, it's fucking Lando Calrissian, Claire. He was cool. He was like 100 years old. He's cool.
He's so cool. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from A Just Like That because it's just making me and just feel terrible. So funny. Anyway.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Maybe, no.
Anyway, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
I don't even understand what Oppenheimer is.
Oppenheimer, I hardly know her. That's a joke.
No, let's talk about Barbie.
Yeah, let's talk about Barbie.
Because I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet. I don't even really know what it's about.
Well, we did a little bit on it while it wasn't recording.
Yeah,
but
we
basically,
did.
It's for those people who
you
don't
know. You
said,
basically explain it's like teams during World War II and something to do with nuclear bombs.
That's right.
Good.
You probably wouldn't like it because there was no Ape Link in it.
That is true. My favorite character of all time.
Anyway, tell me what you thought of Barbie.
Barbie. Ooh. The best movie I've probably seen in a very, very long time.
Wow, that's pretty standard. A lot of people like it, Claire. It's making the most money that any movie has this year.
I know.
It's a pretty normie opinion.
I know. I'm trying to put
sentences
together.
Put a spin on it. What's your unique perspective? That's what people want to hear.
No, and this is the thing. I feel like everyone has said all the things already.
Mm.
All right. A couple of things I will say. These are probably incredibly obvious. It's a feminist masterpiece.
Sure.
It is an absolute feminist masterpiece. Margot Robbie, utterly brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Gosling, bloody excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The whole cast, perfection.
I agree.
From start to finish. I love the fact that Greta Gerwig has just done the most incredible
I need to
job.
Watch Little Women.
Yeah,
Her
it's,
Little
it's
Women,
really
that is.
Great.
Yeah.
The script and the direction, it's so layered. It's so much fun while also incredibly gut-wrenching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hated Barbie as a kid. I played with Barbies, but they made me feel so bad about myself that I kind of have this horrible relationship with Barbie, and I really actively didn't want to watch it. Everyone was so excited, and I really didn't want to see it because I just felt like I have such a problematic relationship with that whole idea of like body image and the blonde kind of bombshell idea, and just my experience of Barbie was not that it was liberating, but that I just felt like I could never look like her, and it made me feel shit. Basically, you know, my feet would never just stay up on little tippy toes.
Sure, yeah.
What I loved about it too was two of my favorite characters, other than obviously Margot Robbie herself because she's brilliant, Kate McKinnon plays Weird Barbie. And one of the genius things about that, and also this whole movie, I have to say, could easily have been the worst thing that's ever been invented.
Absolutely, 100%.
Which
it could
is
have
what
been,
is so fascinating.
It could have been the emoji
they
movie.
They took a giant swing, like a giant swing. It's kind of like the idea of explaining Star Wars to someone and going, well, that's going to be a giant embarrassing flop. And instead, it's utter genius.
This goes back to the thing that I always say, and it rarely happens. Anything can be good.
Ooh,
anything.
Cool, yeah. But it's about layers of execution.
Most things aren't, though.
Exactly. But this took such a big swing. But the – oh. So Kate McKinnon's character, Weird Barbie, is just heaven. Mm. She's so funny. She's so charismatic. The physical comedy is excellent. The commentary around perfection and imperfection and what makes a good woman and what makes a good Barbie, quote unquote, all of that is just so great. America Ferrera's character is a mother, and it turns out she's
spoiling it now, are we?
Are we doing some spoilers? Okay, maybe I won't. Well, all I'll say is she – no, I do want to do a bit of a spoiler because I think this
why
is
don't we go
important.
From here? We'll say let's do spoilers from now.
All right,
we'll
okay. So this is a really important point to make, which I'm sure other people have made, but I love so much.
Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers. So America Ferrera's character, is a mum in the real world, and she has a daughter, a teenage daughter. Now, there's a reason that Barbie is having kind of thoughts of death and like starting to feel like a human as opposed to everything being shiny and perfect all the time, which is the whole plot really. And then Margot Robbie's Barbie is trying to get back to being normal and a normal Barbie and trying to get rid of all of these kind of human thoughts. And that's why she has to go on this adventure to the real world to try and find the child that's playing with her to fix everything. But turns out it's not her daughter that's playing with her. It's the mother, America Ferrera, who's been drawing Barbie and having thoughts of death and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and cellulite.
And cellulite, yeah. And everything. And what makes me cry every time I think about that and why it's so genius is that mother and that woman is all of my generation. Like that's us that at this time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a broad sweeping statement, but it brings the film right very close into the heart of what it means to be a woman in their 30s and 40s as a mother right now. Mm. And I know there's like shades of this movie that are very poignant for tween girls. There's stuff in here obviously for women in their 60s, 70s, 80s, but
I would say there's stuff in here for men also.
There is heaps of stuff for men in there, but
not all men.
No,
so go on.
But this particular sort of plot line made me cry so much because I think in history there has never been a more complex time to be a woman. Mm. Not saying a hard time, because obviously women now have so much more autonomy and freedom and financial stability in a lot of ways, not always, but it's so complex for us now. And sometimes we're sold the idea that we have more freedom, but actually once you become a mother, you start to realize that maybe you don't. Mm. And the system is still rigged against you just in a different way and expects you to also work and fit into all these extra boxes that maybe 50 years ago women didn't have to fit into in the same way. But, I mean, through human history, women have had fucking, you know, very hard lot in a lot of different ways. And I'm a white, privileged white lady, so woe is me. But I will say the crux of the whole thing, covered in the comedy, the brilliant soundtrack, Mark Ronson, and there's a beautiful song that's sung by Billie Eilish that just like makes you weep. Mm. Charlie XX does this incredible song too in it. There's just like the soundtrack's amazing. The colors and the spectacle and the nostalgia in the costuming and the set design is utterly gorgeous.
Yeah, because they're all little things made big, right?
Yeah, they are, and there's so much of it that you remember. And then the commentary around the inventor of Barbie and how this is a spoiler too, but actually it's a woman, about how, you know, Mattel is really run by all men and that the world is run in a patriarchy in the real world, and that how the contrast of Barbie land and how everything is run by Barbies. And I hadn't realized later on, I was looking at some commentary around this, and Margot Robbie was in an interview was saying how in 1965 women couldn't hold a credit card, but as a Barbie they could be an astronaut.
Yes.
And so even though you have this really complex, and I had as a kid in the 90s, a really complex relationship with Barbie, she made me feel bad about myself. I mean, I know she's not a real
person.
Well,
I think they talk about that in the movie.
They do it so
well. They
do
the perspectives of like, if you hate Barbie.
This is why. And her teenage daughter, America Ferrera's teenage daughter, it basically schools her on what's wrong with her and why she's a symbol of capitalism and patriarchy and all of this, you know. But actually you realize, no, she was a lot of other things too ahead of her time.
Yeah.
And there's a little line I saw in an article which I thought was so, so spot on. I mean, you know, there's so much commentary that's excellent. Just that to be a woman is so incredibly hard because of all the contradictions of things that you're supposed to be, you know, strong but not too strong, soft but not too soft, be a great mother but also be a career woman, you know, like be thin but don't say that you need to want to be thin, you just to be healthy, but actually you do need to be thin, but actually you don't, but maybe embrace your body, but also is it right, is that, you know, the right thing, but don't talk about body image, you know, like just all of the layers of complexity, like speech that she does, America Ferrera's character to the camera is just so spot on.
Mm. They did like 60 different versions of it, and apparently some were like really angry and some were like funny, and I think they really what they settled on, I think, was really
perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And I guess what I wanted to say was there was a little comment in an article about how not only is it complex to be a woman, it's complex to be a doll representing a woman.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
You know, because me, I had a horrible relationship with Barbie till I watched this movie, yeah. Which, you know, maybe that's capitalism at its finest.
Maybe it is.
But that in itself made me think too, because I thought, yeah, she can't just be one thing.
Yeah.
You know, like actually she has to represent everyone or she represents no one. And so it's not enough that she's an astronaut and aspirational in her career choices. She also now has to face a whole lot of criticism over her body image. But then you think about, like we talked about G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe doesn't have to face any of that fucking bullshit. G.I. Joe is just a character.
I mean, they're fighting Cobra. That's not nothing. That's a big deal, Claire.
But, you know, G.I. Joe is just G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Barbie has to be everything to everyone and then gets criticized for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm not saying that I want my daughter to play with Barbie in the form where she's, like, all blonde and tiny-waisted and, like, tippy toes forced into high heels and big-busted. And there's nothing wrong with that body type as well or being blonde. I just mean when that's the only way that's represented.
Yes, absolutely,
in
yeah.
this very long-limbed kind of
yeah. impossible I thought it was really – I mean, standard. It was interesting how they weren't all different characters. They were all Barbie, like all the Barbies in Barbie Land, and they represented like different.
Yeah, which was excellent.
People, yeah,
and so cool. beautiful. Yeah. And so I just thought, loved it.
I also think it's not, there's been talk, and I think anybody who kind of understands this, I know we got to wrap it up. It's not, I think it's a pro men movie, genuinely.
I do too.
I think it is like, it's got a really good message of like, because the Kens, there's kind of this minor Ken uprising that happens, and it's all. Look, without getting into it, we've got to wrap it up. But I think it does something really interesting with that, you know, the perspective of, you know, what's the place for men in the world, you know, today. Anyway, we've got to wrap it up.
It's so
we
such can't an get interesting into it, conversation, though.
Yeah.
Can we pick that up?
We can pick it up right now.
Yeah. Can I make this phone call and then pick it up?
Yeah, let's do it.
I would love to hear a bit more about your perspective. Or maybe we can talk about that next episode.
Let's do it next episode. Should we wrap it up now?
Yeah.
I'll quickly do a review.
Okay.
I'll quickly do a review, Claire. Okay. You want to review the show, you can just do it in-app. That's right, reviews are back, baby. I stopped reading them, but now I'm reading them. This is from Josh, 100% who says, 5 stars, by the way, just in any app, a gun, a guy, and some podcasts. If I had a gun with 5 stars and I was in a room with 5 podcasts, I'd shoot Suggestible 5 times.
Oh.
So there you go. Thank you so much.
Thank
we'll be back next week for more Suggestible. In the meantime, why don't you just do anything else, you know?
Yeah, find correct, exactly. Or just very quickly, if you want to recommend us something, you can email the show, suggestiblepod@gmail.com, just like Sean has, and his email is so great. It just says, hello, I suggest that no one watch The Idol on Max ever. That is all, Sean.
I watched some of The Idol, and I agree. It's fucking atrocious. Oh,
thank you so much, Sean.
It's the worst thing maybe I've seen
right.
this year.
All right, well, we've been Suggestible Podcast. We will come back next week to talk a little bit more about James' perspective on Barbie because I just wanted to hear more about that. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I already talked about it on my podcast, The Weekly Planet.
I know, listen to that show.
What? Everybody listens to that show.
You listen to Tom, so
it's
fine.
Universally loved. I don't get weird comments.
Zero weird ones.
Normal. All right, normal thanks,
fine.
Everyone.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Collings, for editing this week's episode. We've been Suggestible Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.